Hear now the word of God, which is truth from heaven to us, from the gospel according to St. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 35. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Almighty God, as Jesus here is speaking words of life, true life, everlasting life, redemption, deliverance, what we truly need, well, Lord, what we need first is for your Spirit to give us understanding, and not only understanding, but the joyful will to embrace these truths. So I pray in this proclamation of your word for a powerful work of your Holy Spirit upon our heart, upon our faith. And I seek your Spirit's unction in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a few weeks, it's going to be Christmas. And you know, Christmas should turn our hearts and our thoughts to God, the God of love who came down from heaven and became human, took on our flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. But of course, that raises the question, why did God come down into our hurting, fallen world with all of its troubles, with all of its hardships and confusion and wars and illnesses and even death? Why didn't God just stay, so to speak, up in heaven? Why did he come into this pain-filled world? Well, here's the good news of Christmas. God came to earth and became man for the greatest of reasons. He came to be the Savior that we so desperately need. And Jesus, here in John's Gospel, Jesus makes a total of 7 great I Am declarations which reveal that this God who came down from heaven to rescue us, that he really is the kind of Savior that we need. For you see, Jesus is no ordinary human being making big boasts that he's not able to fulfill. Rather, Jesus, in the I Am announcements, declarations, which we're looking at this Sunday and next Sunday, Jesus in these I Am announcements reveals that he is God come to earth with infinite power and glory and ability to bring about what he declares, to bring about what he claims and offers and promises. Never forget, when Jesus announces, "I am," he is identifying himself as the God who sees our troubles. He sees our troubles, and in response, he has come down from heaven to earth to deliver us. And this truly is Christmas good news. And that's what elevates these 7 I Am sayings. There's 7 of them here in John's Gospel. That's what elevates these 7 declarations to such great heights of truly magnificent hope for the world. And this, I originally tried to do one sermon with all 7. It didn't work. I tried, seriously. So this morning, 4, and the next Sunday, the final 3 of the 7, just so you know what's going on. Well, what are these I Am sayings all about? Well, As I was meditating on this, studying this whole subject, here's kind of how I put them together, these seven great I Am declarations of Jesus Christ. His I Am announcements declare the gospel good news that God has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ and that He is powerful to be and to provide what we really and truly need. He is powerful to be and provide what we truly need. And not only that, but it is the great I Am, Jesus Christ, who is Himself the person that we need, the Savior that we need. So let's begin with the first I Am found here in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 35, where He announces, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. This is an incredible claim, is it not? So when Jesus Christ, again, God come to earth, I really want you to grasp this incredible gospel good news. When Christ, who is God come to earth, says of Himself, I am the bread of life, well, He's using a metaphor. A metaphor is a picture from everyday life to communicate a message, to help us understand another concept. And here, He's using the metaphor of saying He's the bread of life to communicate a tremendous message about His divine provision for life for everyone who trusts in Him. So when Christ says, I am the bread of life, He's declaring that as our bodies need nourishment, the nourishment of bread for life, so our hearts and our souls need Christ to nourish us for life, even for everlasting life. You see? And just a few verses earlier here in chapter 6, back in verse 27, Jesus had said this to the people, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." He's offering nourishment. He's offering food on an incredibly different, higher level, plane than the food of this earth. Jesus is challenging us to realize that life, true life, the ultimate kind of life which we all grasp after, is found in Him and only in Him. Do you realize that? Has it ever really struck you that true life is being offered to you, but it's only found in one place, in one person, and that's in Christ? In other words, Jesus is really ultimately saying He is the very source of life. Remember what John opened this gospel here in chapter 1, verse 4, when John declared regarding Christ, in Him is life. You see? And very critically, the particular Greek word that Jesus uses for life when he says, I am the bread of life, the particular Greek word that Jesus uses for life is zoe. And zoe refers not just simply to life, but it refers to a quality of life. And that makes it become very exciting. So Jesus, when He says, I'm the bread of life, is not simply talking about eternal existence, kind of like life going on and on and on and on and on. Because if you think about life going on, let's just say we could extend our lives 200 years, 300 years, centuries. Think about us in our fallen condition, however. If life just kept going and going and going and going in our fallen condition, would that not be a description of hell? Think about that. So Jesus is not simply talking about life just going on and on and on. He's talking about a quality of everlasting life, life with true meaning, true purpose, life and joy and fullness and love and energy and goodness and purpose and richness. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in Me shall not thirst. You see the quality of life in that. Not just simple life extension. You see, the things in this present world in which we're seeking life, they are so exceedingly limited in what they can offer and provide. The things of this world quickly disappoint and run dry, but Christ is infinite, and he never runs dry. In other words, the life, the quality of life that Jesus is holding out to you is rich and full, and its richness, its fullness, its quality, its joys are without limit because he is the limitless I am. You see? So, first of all, Jesus is the bread of life that we really need. And that's really good news. I want to move on now to the second great gospel I am found in John's gospel. And that's found in chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So Jesus declares, "I'm the light of the world." Now, with the metaphor of Jesus being like light, I've gone over this before. With this metaphor of light and Jesus being light, think of Christmas. Christmas is what? It's a time of joy, of hope and encouragement, for the Savior has come. So when you decorate a Christmas tree, do you remember this when I asked this question, whenever that was in the past? When you decorate a Christmas tree, do you decorate it with darkness? Of course not. You decorate it with joy-filled light, don't you? But when it comes to Halloween, now think about this one, which is about blood and disfigurement and death and evil spirits, there really is a sense in which we decorate with darkness, don't we? What a contrast. So with this in mind, consider this second of the seven I am announcements of Jesus. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light pointing to life. We need light because we are born with our hearts shrouded in darkness. We may fool ourselves thinking that we have light in and of ourselves. People throughout history have done this, but actually our hearts are shrouded in darkness. We need light because we can't find our way. We keep trying and it keeps failing. We need light because in the darkness of our hearts, all we keep doing, and we've got some blunt confrontations here this morning. We need light because in the darkness of our heart, all we keep doing is making a mess of the world and our lives, everything. We never truly can see our way out of our mess. We might temporarily, but ultimately we don't. We need light, in fact, to make sense of the world and of life and of everything. And we need light to guide us to our only true deliverance, our only true hope, which is Christ. Now when Jesus announced, and this is a great announcement, "I am the light of the world," it's actually meant to make us think of Exodus chapter 3. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, "I'm the light of the world." And our thoughts are meant to go back to Moses at the burning bush. And what you have to understand is that those flames of that burning bush where God appeared to Moses, that light coming from those flames, what was announcing something truly wonderful. It was announcing the very presence of God. "Moses, take off your sandals because the ground on which you're standing is holy ground. God is here," you see. And so when God appeared to Moses in that burning bush, he said, "I surely have seen the affliction of my people and I've heard their cry. I know their sufferings and I have come down to deliver them." That's gospel good news of monumental proportions. The God of the burning bush, who announced himself as "I am." Remember at the burning bush, Moses said, "Well, who shall I tell the people of Israel has sent me to you?" And God said, "I am has sent you." Right? And so the God of the burning bush, the God who sees our distress
has come down to deliver you. This is the good news of Christmas. God has come to deliver people from every tribe, every language, every place on the face of the globe, from the darkness of our sin and out of Satan's cruel, oppressive clutches. Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul writes to the Ephesian believers, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked." And how did people walk before Christ? "Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air," that's Satan, "among whom we all once all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So there's an announcement of good news. And so, Jesus is the bread of life. We need nourishment unto eternal life. Jesus is light. We're born in darkness. We grope around life, around this world in darkness. And Jesus announces he's the light of the world. And now we come to the third I am statement. And this is recorded now in John chapter 10. And it's found in verses 7 and 11. Verses 7 and 11. "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" That's verse 7. "I am the door of the sheep." So consider this metaphor now of Jesus being a door. He's declaring the good news that as the great I am, as God come to earth, he's the door. He's the way to God. Just again, pay attention to history. Throughout history, people have tried all kinds of ways, all kinds of different paths, all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of religions in an attempt to enter into the blessings, even the sheer joy of God's presence. But every single one of those attempts, every single one of those paths has failed because they're just the guesses of the blind grasping at something that they can't grasp. It's just the mere groping of blind men. But Jesus is the I am. You don't have to cross your fingers and hope that perhaps the path you're trying might get you to God. You see, Jesus is God, whom we're trying to get to. He's God come to us. Who else but God would know the way to God? You see? Who else would have the divine power to restore us to himself? And who else can truly save us? Who else is truly powerful to save us but God? So these I am announcements where Jesus says, "I am God," they're incredible in what they're declaring and what they're offering. And so when Jesus announces here, "Truly, truly, I am the door," he's not only announcing that he is the way, but he's declaring that he's the only door, he's the exclusive door. We'll see more of this next week when we look at John 14, 6. He is the door, he's the only door, he's the only way into the joy of God's presence. And that's not bad news, that's good news, because he is the door that really takes us there. Because all the other doors are false doors, and they only take you to hell. And there's something more to notice here. Note carefully that Jesus announced not simply, "I'm the door," but he announces, "I'm the door of the sheep." Yes, when he says, "I'm the door of the sheep," it does have to do with great doctrines like election. But where I want to take it is I want you to notice when he says, "I'm the door of the sheep," rather than this being cold and impersonal, there's something personal about it. There's relationship here. There's warmth here. Sheep are loved by their shepherd. That's what we're meant to think of. Sheep are watched over. They, they are cared over by their shepherd. And so when Jesus announces that he's the door of the sheep, okay, in a sense, he's saying he's the door, he's the path out of our aloneness, our isolation, our separation, our alienation. He's the door into warmth and intimacy and love and security and being cared for forever and ever and ever. He's the door into these very things which our hearts need so desperately. And so Jesus being the door of the sheep then naturally leads into Jesus' fourth great I am statement. Also right here in John chapter 10, this time look at verse 14 where he says, I am the good shepherd. See, he's the door of the sheep, and now he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and they know me. There's relationship again. Verse 15, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What love. Now, let's really think about what Jesus is saying. He's declaring about himself here when he says, I am the good shepherd. Okay? He doesn't simply say, I'm the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. In fact, actually, he says this twice, first in verse 11 and then again in verse 14. He's repeating the declaration, I am the good shepherd. Double repetition tells us that this announcement possesses tremendous significance. It's highlighting it. It's emphasizing it. It's so wonderful. So let this sink in. Jesus is not just any old shepherd, because I'm sure there are grumpy shepherds, right? Irritable shepherds, shepherds who really don't care. It's just a job, you know. He's distinguishing himself. In fact, he's distinguishing himself, actually, if you really think about this in an incredible way, he is the good shepherd. Think about this. Jesus isn't saying, I am the good shepherd. He's saying he's God. And a fundamental attribute of God is that God is good. I mean, really, really deep, deep down, good, wonderfully good, truly good, forever good, unchangingly good. And if there's anything that we need in life, it really is for Jesus Christ to be our, not just simple shepherd, but our good shepherd. And thereby, the greatest thing we can do in life is to embrace him and order our very, very hearts under his shepherding, loving care. Because he's good. You see, he's infinitely good. And I know one of our struggles is that we tend to project onto God ourselves. And we're not good, are we? We can be good, but we tend to be grumpy and irritable and selfish and we could just go on down the list, but when God says he's good, that's one of his attributes, amongst others. He truly is good. And furthermore, to better understand what I'm getting at in terms of our needing, because we need Jesus to be our good shepherd, we have to consider also what it means, not only that he's good, but what it means when God calls us sheep. And we've gone over this before, by the way. What does it imply when God calls us sheep? He does this in the Old Testament. He does it in the New Testament. And it's not necessarily pretty, the picture. And it's good for us to hear this every so often. Because there's a very real sense in which God refers to us as sheep. It's not a compliment. What are sheep like? And why do sheep need shepherds? Even that should tell you something about sheep. That they need shepherds. Philip Keller, some of you have read his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He was a shepherd and he writes this about sheep. He says, sheep do not just take care of themselves as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. The bottom line is that apart from the care of a loving shepherd, sheep are unable to survive very long at all. Did you know that? On their own, they really don't survive very long at all. In other words, sheep like us, even though it's hard for us, especially as Americans, to admit this, sheep like us are dependent, needy creatures. And they all too often believe that something is good for them when, truth be admitted, it isn't good for them at all. How much does that characterize human civilization and human life? We think things are good for us, and it's not good at all, but man, we go for it. And even one of the big words nowadays is addiction. And that should tell us a lot right there. Philip Keller tells of the time when he watched a flock being led by their shepherd to a pure, a clean mountain stream. But what happened as the shepherd was leading those sheep to that pure water, well, along the path there was some water. And some of the sheep, rather than following the shepherd to the clean, pure water, they stopped and they were perfectly satisfied to quench their thirst with that water along that path, the water which had already been urinated in and defecated in by other sheep. But they were perfectly content with that water. He comments, "Those stubborn sheep were quite sure that it was the best drink obtainable." Can't we see ourselves in that? And there's something of us? No wonder God calls us sheep. Furthermore, sheep are without a shepherd. Even when you place sheep in a beautiful, lush, well-watered pasture, you know what they do? They wander off. They don't stay in that wonderful, rich, green field. Inevitably, sheep end up in barren lands. We're like sheep. God calls us sheep. And that's why we need a shepherd. This is why we need the great I Am, God come to earth. This is why we need Christ, who is the good shepherd. And so this is the bottom line of what I'm getting at. We're always trying to be our own shepherds. And I think in the way in which we think as Americans, we've taken that to an extreme. We're self-sufficient. We pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We can accomplish anything. We're always trying to be our own shepherds, or we're trying to find somewhere a good shepherd, anywhere and everywhere else but in Christ. So do you see what Christ is telling us when he announces the good news that we need to hear? I'm the good shepherd. He's not only declaring that he's truly good, I mean really, really good from the very depth of his divine being, but also that, and I'm indebted to Timothy Keller for this, that he also has to be our everything. I am the good shepherd. He, just like with sheep, he's saying he has to be our everything. He has to be the exclusive one that we look to and to follow for our highest good. And there goes our self-sufficiency out the window where it needs to be. So on the one hand, we do have this tendency to look to others, to something else other than Christ, to be our good shepherd. But the problem with that, if you're wondering, is that absolutely nothing in the universe possesses the infinite capacity, the power, the goodness, nor the boundless wisdom to truly shepherd us. Everything, anything that you look to apart from Christ to be your good shepherd, it's always going to fail you in the end. And if you really think about your own life, you'll see that. And if you look to yourself rather than things and others, if you look to yourself to be your good shepherd, and you tell yourself that you can take care of yourself just fine, well, you're just plain daft if you really think you can take care of yourself just fine. Remember the analogy here then. We're sheep. Sheep wander off. Sheep keep drinking from filthy pools, and they think it's the best thing going. And it's hurting them. Remember the tragic effect of sin on every part of our being. That's why God informs us that we're sheep. We just can't see our way, even though we think that we see. And in the end, we just keep making a mess of everything. And so with these realities about ourselves in mind, can you begin to see why these great I am declarations of Jesus Christ are such incredibly good news? First, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Human history is the record of humanity's hungering and thirsting and never being filled and satisfied and never having their thirst quenched. Then Jesus announces, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that's something we should want. And then thirdly, as we've seen, he says, I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the entryway into what we need. And then fourthly, as we just now saw, I am the good shepherd. These I am declarations of Jesus Christ announce the gospel good news that God has come to us in Jesus Christ, and he is powerful to be and to provide what we really and truly need. And not only that, but Jesus as the great I am is himself what we truly need. So as John 3:16 so beautifully announces, for God so loved the world. Isn't this a declaration of God's love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for moving great apostles like John to record for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit these records of the life of Christ. And even for these great I am declarations of Jesus, which are gospel Christmas good news. Give us the faith to believe. Give us the faith to repent of our trying to be our own light, our own shepherd, our own door, our own nourishment. Help us to turn from our proud, selfish ways. Help us to let go of self and reach out and embrace the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. Give us the faith to believe. Oh, Jesus, save us. We ask all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.